Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Camtek's fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Camtek's Investor Relations team at GK Investor & Public Relations at 1-646-688-3559, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.camtek.co.il. I would now like to hand over to the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, may you please begin?
Thank you, operator. Good day to all of you. I would like to welcome all of you to Camtek's fourth quarter and full year 2016 results conference call. I would also like to thank Camtek management for hosting this call. With us today on the line are Mr. Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO, Mr. Moshe Eisenberg, Camtek's CFO, and Mr. Ramy Langer, VP and Head of the Semiconductor Division. Rafi will provide an overview of Camtek's strategy, and Moshe will discuss some of the recent development and summarize the financial results of the fourth quarter. We will then open the call to take your questions. Before we begin, I'd like to remind our listeners that certain information provided on this call are internal company estimates, unless otherwise specified. This call also may contain forward-looking statements. These statements are only prediction and may change as time passes. Statements on this call are made as of today, and the company undertakes no obligation to update any of the forward-looking statements contained, whether as a result of new information, future events, changes in expectation, or otherwise. Investors are reminded that actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demands for services and products, the timely development of new services and products, and the adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry, and price erosion, as well as due to other risks identified in the company's filing with the SEC. Please note that the safe harbor statement in today's press release also covers the content of this conference call. In addition, during this call, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed. These are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes that the presentation of non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investor understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing cooperation and prospects for the future. A full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures is included in today's earnings release. I would like now to hand over the call to Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO. Rafi, go ahead, please.
Well, hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are very pleased to present a very strong end to 2016, with quarterly revenue the highest in 5 years and full-year revenue our highest ever. Beyond that, we showed a solid improvement in our profitability with non-GAAP operating margin at 10%, which is in line with our long-term model, versus 6.8% in Q4 last year. This led to our non-GAAP operating income of $3 million, our highest in 4 years. Our results are built mainly on the solid performance from the semiconductor side of our business, as well as strengths in the fourth quarter on the PCB side. In addition, our improved profitability is also due to the FIT-related expenses reduction activities we implemented in August last year. This market strength is broad, and we see orders across many clients, and the positive trend have continued into 2017. While we typically experience a seasonal slowdown in Q1 due to the Chinese New Year, this year's Q1 looks to remain very strong, and we expect revenue around the same level as, and possibly slightly better than the current Q4 revenue level of $29.3 million. This represent a year-over-year growth of 20%. I'd like to go into more detail on the performance of our semiconductor business. In 2016, Camtek semiconductor business had a record year with double digits growth at 16% over 2015, well ahead of the semiconductor market in general. $79 million or 72% of our $110 million full year revenue came from this business. This is the third year in a row that we have broken our previous record for semiconductor revenue, and in each year we have shown a double digits increase. Camtek Semiconductor's growth trend is due to, in part, to the market segments we serve, which are growing well ahead of the general market. These segments include advanced packaging, MEMS, RF, and CMOS image sensor. The record growth is also reflected in our sales in Asia, which grew approximately 20% year over year. In 2016, we also invested in developing superior 2D inspection technology and capabilities to increase our 2D inspection market share. We have demonstrated our 2D detection technology to several of our customers and have already sold multiple machines for 2D applications. A new product, our Eagle T, which we introduced in the third quarter of 2016, is equipped with a high-end optical channel, new lighting configuration, and an innovative detection engine, all designed to enhance our 2D inspection technology and detection capability. We expect our new 2D capability to contribute significantly to our sales in 2017, and we expect to increase our market share through our 2D technology. We are continuously working on keeping pace with the advanced packaging market developments to remain our position as market leader in this field. Earlier in 2016, we launched an innovative inspection method for fan-out wafer level packaging using CAD-based inspection data as a reference. Since then, we have shipped several systems with this capability. We are working closely with our customers on solutions for fan-out production on panels. That is expected to start ramping up in 2018. We believe that we will well position to provide competitive solutions for this emerging market by leveraging our PCB experience. Another important development that we recently announced is the partnership with Bistel, under which we will include Bistel's yield management software as part of our new comprehensive software portfolio. This decision was a result of our customers asking us to provide this capability. We team up with Bistel, who is leading provider in this market. Our solution includes a central data server to support multiple machines from different vendors, collecting inspection and metrology data for yield and process analysis. The software offering will be part of our product portfolio, and we expect to generate additional revenue from this new business already this year and more meaningful revenue in the following years. Looking at the semiconductor market as a whole, most analysis forecasts continue growth in 2017 and 2018. We expect to benefit from this positive momentum as the area in which we are active are expected to grow even faster. Looking through 2017, we expect to continue our growth at a double-digit rate. Regarding the PCB business, the inspection business for PCB remained solid in 2016. In the fourth quarter of 2016, this business showed strength, which we expected to continue into the first quarter of 2017. We won multiple systems order at some new key account, which potentially will open the door for further growth in the future. In addition, in China, there are several manufacturers expanding their capacities at existing and new facilities, which we expect to benefit from in the next few quarters. With regard to feed, we continue working on our next generation printer and improving the ink and the process. We are collaborating with leading ink manufacturers to develop solder mask ink that meets the highest industry standard and is compatible with our system. We expect to complete this process in a little over a year time. Once ready, we plan to join up with strategic partner to take this business to the next level, and we will continue to update you when we have news to share. Let's end my summary, and I would like to hand over to Moshe for a more detailed discussion of our financial results. Moshe?
Thank you, Rafi. As Rafi mentioned, we are very pleased with the financial results of the fourth quarter, which were ahead of our expectations. Fourth quarter revenues came at $29.3 million, up 14% year over year. Full year revenues were a record $109.5 million, up 10% year over year. Revenues from sales and services to the semiconductor industry in the fourth quarter were $21.5 million, representing 73% of our total revenues, and for the year, they were $79 million, representing 72% of our full year revenues. Sales in the fourth quarter grew by 17% over those of the fourth quarter last year, and by 2.5% over the previous quarter. Fourth quarter revenues for sales and services to the PCB market were $7.8 million, representing 27% of our total revenues in the quarter, and for the year were $30.5 million, representing 28% of our full year revenues. Sales in the fourth quarter grew by 6% over those of the fourth quarter last year and 5% over the previous quarter. The geographic split for the quarter was as follows. China was the strongest region during the quarter, representing approximately 34% of overall revenues. Korea was 27%. Taiwan was 18%. US sales were 14%. Rest of Asia, excluding China, Taiwan, and Korea, was 5%, and European sales were 2%. Unless I state otherwise, I will summarize the rest of the results on non-GAAP basis. The reconciliation between the GAAP and non-GAAP results appear in the tables at the end of the press release issued earlier today. Fourth quarter gross profit was $13.4 million, representing a gross margin of 45.8%. This is compared with a gross profit of $11.7 million, representing a margin of 45.4 in the fourth quarter of last year. Gross profit for the year was $48.9 million, representing a gross margin of 44.7%. This is compared with a gross margin of 44.5% last year. Operating expenses in the quarter were $10.5 million. This is compared with a $9.9 million in the fourth quarter of last year. This quarter, we had slightly higher than usual legal expenses. Operating profit in the quarter was $3 million, an increase of 68% over the $1.8 million reported in the fourth quarter of last year. Operating margin was 10.1% versus 6.8% in the fourth quarter last year. Operating profit for the year was $7.9 million, or 7.2% of revenues. This is compared with an operating income of $6 million last year, or 6% of revenues. Net income for the fourth quarter of 2016 was $2.3 million, or 7 cents per diluted share. This is compared to a net income of $2.9 million or 8 cents per share in the fourth quarter of last year. The higher level of net income in the fourth quarter of 2015 was due to a one-time tax income of $1.3 million versus expense of $96,000 in the fourth quarter of 2016. Net income for the year was $6.2 million or 18 cents per share. This is compared to a net income of $5.2 million or 16 cents per share last year. Net cash and cash equivalents and short-term deposits as of December 31, 2016 were $19.8 million compared with $38.7 million as of December 31, 2016. We generated an operating cash flow of $400,000 in the quarter. For the first quarter of 2017, we expect revenue at around the same level or slightly higher than the fourth quarter, which was $29.3 million. We will now open the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Edwin Mok of Needham & Company. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking my question. Congrats for a great quarter. So first, Rafi, you mentioned that you're seeing strength across multiple end market. Just curious, any way you can kind of give us more color around which one you're seeing stronger? Is it advanced packaging? We also heard the CMOS image sensor. There's some pickup in business there. Just curious if you can give us some color around, maybe the three main markets, advanced packaging, CMOS image sensor, and then the MEMS market. What are you seeing right now in the market in terms of demand for your products?
Okay, I will ask Ravi to answer this. Hi. I wouldn't limit the growth to just one segment. We see strength in all of the segments we operate. The advanced packaging is strong, but the CMOS image sensors is very strong, especially to the fact that there are now three high-end cameras on each of the phones coming out. The RF market is very strong due to the good mobile market. So overall, all of our customers and in all of the segments are very strong.
Okay, all right. Thanks for the color there. And then talk a little about, I think on the prepared remarks, and you guys announced this partnership on the software product. Just curious, how do we think about sales of these products? And are these recognized as, one-time? Do you sell the whole server as a one-time software sale? Or are they more license-type arrangement? And what impact it would have on your gross margin?
In general, we expect the revenues, as Rafi said, the revenues will recognize some revenues this year, and it will be more meaningful in the forthcoming years. As related to gross margins, I expect, as we are using another vendor, I expect the gross margin to be similar to the gross margins that we see today across our products.
In general, the way how we're calculating, usually customer pays by each machine. It's like a license. You pay per machine for this package. And the specialized in this system that actually customer can connect any machine. We're not limited to only Camtek machines. So even old install base could be connected to this system. And definitely there are more what we call side product of this software, and also some software package that Camtek developed for ADC and other type of solution. So we believe that more customers will start using software as a tool for enhancing the yield and their efficiency.
Okay, all right, great. That's helpful. And then on the 2D product, you guys talk about, you know, growth of that product, that being a driver for growth as you start to see the market in 16. Just curious, again, go back to the same thing, all of the advanced packaging, CMOS image sensor and the MEMS RF markets. I'm just curious, which market are you guys seeing the greatest pull right now for this product? And how do you kind of think about in terms of as you roll out this year, should we expect one particular market that is seeing stronger demand in the near term and eventually fan out the other ones, or is it across the board? If you can give us some color on that.
In general, the 2D that we're talking about is for the advanced packaging segment. That's the segment that we're targeting our 2D. Regarding fan-out, no doubt in the fan-out there is a significant 2D opportunity that we expect to leverage. And we talked about the CAD technology that we implemented, and this is again related to a 2D application, which again we believe that we'll be able to take some significant market share. So all in all, your question, the 2D is for the advanced packaging. We are very strong on the 3D in the advanced packaging, and we expect to be able to leverage our customers to use our 2D. We've seen successes already in 2016, and we expect to see this trend going into 2017.
Great, that's all I have. Thank you, appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from Craig Ellis of B. Riley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking the question, and congratulations to the team on what was a record year in the business overall and in the semi business. I just wanted to start with two clarifications on some of the financial items from the fourth quarter for Moshe. Moshe, gross margins were a little bit better than my model. Was there anything unusual and non-recurring in the fourth quarter's gross margin? And somewhat similarly, with regard to the higher legal expense in the fourth quarter, is that more of a one-time item, or is that more structural and something that should persist through 2017?
Okay, with respect to the gross margin, there was nothing special about gross margin in the quarter. This is a result of a product mix. As we said all along, our gross margin is typically varies between 44 to 46, you know, and any gross margin in this range is very much in line with our model. And we expect this gross margin to continue into 2017 as well. With respect to legal expenses, they really vary from quarter over quarter based on the level of activity that we have. Specifically on the fourth quarter, we had a higher than usual legal expenses. Typically, the expenses are a bit lower. So we should expect some reduction in this item going into the first quarter.
That's very helpful. The second question is a follow-up to Edwin's inquiry on the software business. And I'll frame it this way. As we think about the potential for the company to derive incremental software sales with the new BizTel agreement, should we think about that being an opportunity that exists as you're selling incremental systems into your customers, or is there an opportunity to sell software into your install base? And so the question would be, you know, how many different avenues or channels do you have as you begin to take that to market?
So I would say for both. I see this opportunity for the both things that you mentioned. First of all, there will be incremental revenues from the fact that we're selling a new product portfolio, which is the software, and as Rafi mentioned, there are various softwares that are included in it. We will sell it to our existing, to the entire installed base, and that's one opportunity. No doubt, this will make our equipment more competitive, and I believe that we'll be able to achieve additional sales as a result of the fact that we have this capability built in our portfolio.
I would like to add one more information about this product. The drive for selling or for purchasing such product, I would say, is not only by the direct client. In many cases, the end user usually it's all the, you know, the giant companies, day to day are more involved in every and each process in the food chain of the supplier. And they are demanding on getting detail and understand what happened in each process. If something happened, they want to understand when it happened, in what process. So they would like to tie their control all over. And in many cases, they force their supplier to adapt such a tool so if something happened, they can make follow-up and understand exactly when it start and how to improve it. So I believe this is just the beginning of this trend. You have the tool, you have the demand, you have the end user that insist of that. So I believe that we'll see more and more demand for using this product.
That makes sense, and a follow-up would be with regards to the sales cycle. I would imagine that when the software is sold with a piece of equipment, the sales cycle would match the piece of equipment. And I know it's very early innings, but can you talk about the sales cycle when the sale is made into the install base where there isn't equipment, it's just a pure software sale?
Well, in general, I would expect the sales cycle for software to be shorter than the tool because the cost is lower. However, you know, we are new to it, and we'll need to see and learn exactly how to sell this portfolio. We have quite an experience selling our current portfolio, which is more limited. So I would say that overall I expect a shorter cycle, but also as it will be, you know, part of the machine cycle, then it will be remain the same. So we'll see both.
Thank you. And then the last question for me, the business did a nice job of generating operating cash flow in the quarter. As you look at the cash balance, can you address your comfort with the cash balance as it currently stands or whether it needs to be augmented in any way? Thank you, gentlemen.
Moshe.
Yeah, I can address the question. In general, we feel comfortable with the current level of cash. Generally speaking, we are generating cash across the year. We don't have any immediate need for cash. So at this point, we are comfortable to the extent that we need additional cash for other purposes. We will know how we have access to a bank line of credit and other sources to augment it.
Thanks, gentlemen. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Jonathan Art of the Kaufman Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Rafi. Good afternoon. Could you you talk about the demand being so strong. Does that mean that most of your tools are already scheduled for, at least in the semi side, for shipment for the first quarter? And how far does visibility extend to demand right now?
Okay. First of all, in general, I would say that we can see this trend for the first half year of 2017. And you know, we can analyze it by looking on the backlog, but the delivery time, but the amount of pressure from customer to make urgent shipment. So right now it looks like it is not like a peak in Q1, but it's a trend going to at least to the first 6 months of this year.
Can you talk about the 2D market? Generally, how large is the 2D market? How much of your 16 shipments do you think are 2D? And how significantly can you take market share in 17?
Well, the segment that we're talking about, the 2D, and if you take about the overall advanced packaging, is about two-thirds of the market. And I would say that, you know, for every 3D machine, there are probably two machines, 2D machines are sold, roughly. So in this segment of the advanced packages, it's very, you know, this market doesn't have an accurate number, but it was low. I think our market share was comparatively low. If you take the 3D, where we are very dominant, we have, I would say, 50%-60%. On the 2D, it is much lower. And we've gained significant market share in 2016, and I believe we will continue in this trend in 2017. However, I don't expect us in 2017 to be dominant.
But given that the opportunity is twice as large, is there any way to sort of quantify what the dollar opportunity is in 17 or 18 in 2D for you?
I think that at this stage it's a little too early, and I would be careful to put now a dollar amount about it, but it's no doubt it's significant.
And one other question, to what extent does competition relying on lasers create a competitive headwind for them going forward as you prove out LED light sources?
Okay, now we are, these are two things. These are two different things. When you talk about the lasers, this relates to a different technology than ours. But when you talk about LEDs, which we are starting to use, here there is an advantage in the reliability and consistency of the detection. When you talk about lasers, this is for different applications, and it's not exactly here apples to apples. I cannot really compare between these two.
Okay. And I guess my last question is, can you talk about the fan-out applications? There are many different approaches or flavors of fan-out. There's TSMC's for Apple, there's Cypress with DeckaTek, Infineon has their approach. Have you shipped into any of these applications yet? And what gives you a sense that 18 will be a breakout year for fan-out?
Yeah, okay. First of all, you know, when you talk about fan-out, we have to distinguish between fan-out on wafer and fan-out on panels. This is two different worlds. Fan-out on wafer, we already see customer doing production. We ship machine for production. We ship machine you know, for different customers. When we talk about fan-out on panels, I would say this is just the beginning, and we expect a ramp-up only in 2018. And nobody still know exactly if it's going to be plastic, glass, silicon, what type of material. Still, you know, everyone try to develop different way, and it's not yet decided who is going to win, what technology is going to win. But when we talk about the wafer level, wafer size, we can see more and more fan-out. And most of them, I think, doing, in general, similar concept. Okay, you don't see a great difference between all of them. It's like they do it, what we call a reconstruct wafer. They place the dies on the reconstruct wafer. They use some plastic, let's call it liquid, to get the molding. They polish it, and they start with sputtering and building the image and the connection. This is very typical to most of the applications, and it's depending on the resolution. The industry would like to go to 2 micron in space. Today, most of them doing over 8 micron, so they have still a long way to make RDL with 10 micron lines. Nobody's still doing. So we still even here can see, I would say, a lot of development in improving the yield, and until the yield come to a certain level, I couldn't see a real ramp up for this process. But for wafer level, at least the machine are there. For panel, many processes have no backup of machines. So this is why we believe it takes more time for fan-out on panels.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Amit to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available on Camtek's website, www.camtek.co.il, beginning tomorrow. Mr. Amit, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Okay, I would like to thank you for your continued interest in our business. I look forward to talking with you again next quarter. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Camtek's fourth quarter 2016 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.